Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Michael's Place by acclaimed author Gerald Myers is a coming-of-age tale where innocence meets corruption, safety confronts peril, and friendship copes with betrayal. The story of two adolescents from different worlds who meet and bond only to have their connection severed by jealousy and deceit. It's only while reconnecting during adulthood that they have an opportunity to rediscover the trust and affection that once characterized their unique relationship. The work also has been crafted into a stirring screenplay by Missouri native Jerry Rapp entitled Not by Blood. When a review says Gerald employs all the right elements of a crime thriller and his work compares nicely with heavyweights in the genre like David Baldacci and Harlan Coben. Gerald Myers, a Philadelphia native who, after practicing clinical cardiology in Pittsburgh for over 20 years, at the start of the new millennium, heeded the call to the Rocky Mountains and relocated to the Vail Valley in Colorado. Although continuing his occupation as a full-time cardiologist, his passion for writing came to fruition with the publication of his first novel, Muted Colors, in the spring of 2001. 8 years later, this critically acclaimed work was adapted into a suspenseful screenplay and revised at the Heart of Rose. Dr. Myers has gone on to pen five other works of fiction, two coming-of-age novels, The Other Side of Innocence and Michael's Place, a historical thriller, Lethal Legacy, a psychological thriller, The Song of the Siren, and most recently, a very personal, fictionalized memoir, The Flight of the Peacock. A proud member of the baby boomer generation, Dr. Myers, with his wife Renee, continues to live, work, and play in Edwards, Colorado. Gerald Myers, author of Michael's Place, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Myers, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Rick. Thank you.
I was going to say, what a career you've had. Let me say, what careers you've had with the writing that's doing so well and the very successful medical practice. Let's talk. We're going to specifically talk about Michael's Place during the conversation today. This is such an interesting background, how this whole developed, this whole idea came to you. Talk about the inspiration for Michael's Place.
Well, it came about in the late 80s. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time. I was attending seminars from something called Landmark Education. And I came across a guy named Mike LaPera. And he was this buffed, well-dressed, well-spoken young man who had created a personal training profession in the city. And we got to know each other, talked about our backgrounds, and found out that he was from an area close to where I grew up, which was Northeast Philly. He was from Conshohocken, and he was nothing like how he appeared in the late 80s. When he was a teenager, he was a street urchin. His mother was divorced, had a series of boyfriends. They didn't like having him around. So he ended up sleeping at friends' houses and on the street, and got into some pretty nasty stuff. He mainlined drugs. He robbed jewelry stores. Wow. And liquor stores. He fenced furniture. And I remember him showing me a picture of what he looked like back in those days from his license at that time. And he was a scraggly, pock-faced, greasy-haired teenager that looked nothing like he was now. And I was thinking, here I was, this wholesome teenager from Northeast Philly, grew up in a conventional Jewish family, and here he was from a whole different world. And I recalled that I visited my grandparents in a neighborhood of Philadelphia called Strawberry Mansion, which was it had been a Jewish neighborhood. It was gradually turning into more of a Hispanic and Black neighborhood. And I had this notion, what would happen if a guy like Michael and myself were to meet and become friends while I was visiting my grandparents during a summer? And the whole kernel of the idea came from that, and the rest of the story grew from there.
You know, that's interesting because as I'm reading this, I'm thinking back to my days in growing up and how impressed I was with maybe some people I shouldn't have been impressed with. I mean, I was the older boy, so I can relate to what you're
right.
talking about with the parents that wanted to know where you were every minute of the day. But it sort of looked like at these other people, very impressionable. They weren't quite into fencing furniture. I don't think they might have been, but I don't think they were. But that's fascinating. You take that idea, and out of that comes Michael's Place. Gerald Myers, our guest on the program, M-Y-E-R-S. His website is geraldmyersauthor.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about that in creating these characters for the book. You've got Mark and you've got Michael, and there are so many layers that you bring into the story. The book is highly praised for character development. Let's start with that. When you started writing Michael's Place, were these characters fully developed, or did this sort of happen as you were telling the story?
It pretty much evolved gradually. I mean, I wanted to explore pretty much who would rub off on the other more.
Yes.
I mean, Mark exposed Michael to his grandparents, to an intact family, Friday night dinner. The morals and ethics of that kind of a relationship. And then Michael exposed Mark to a whole different kind of world, where he was a courier for a mob boss, and he would transport heroin in his backpack from pizza shops downtown Philly to the north to Strawberry Mansion. It's interesting because I came across a book at that time called The Pizza Connection, and it was the description of a massive trial that took place in New York City in the early 80s, and it involved the Sicilian Mafia, who had been trafficking heroin through a whole network of pizza shops across the East and into the Midwest. And it gave a real world context to the settings that I was creating in the book. And then I also dealt with Mike's real life. I mean, he was arrested for dealing drugs. He ended up being sentenced to 5 years in a maximum security prison. He was offered the opportunity to shorten that sentence and go to a drug and rehab center in central Pennsylvania, and he really cleaned up his life. And the transformation for me was remarkable. And that was also something I wanted to explore in the book, and how the characters would deal with those kinds of situations.
You know, as you're putting the story together, I mentioned two adolescents, different worlds, they meet and bond. This is sort of a study in sociology as well. Talk about how likely that was to happen. I saw it happen in my childhood. Obviously, in yours, you can look back and you can see that happening as well. Talk about these people are total opposites, yet there was that attraction there.
It is, and it's kind of a guilty pleasure type thing, that the idea of exploring a world that you had no idea existed, you had maybe read about it or heard about it. You know, it's a lot of forbidden fruit there. But in the process of experiencing that, you, at least the Mark character, gets exposed to a very dangerous and ultimately catastrophic world.
They meet later in the story, and they try to revive this bond that they have. Talk about that. Can you go back in a relationship, especially if you've gone different paths, and revive that relationship?
Well, that relationship, they were in totally different places. It was probably 15 years later. They hadn't seen each other for all those years. Mark was kind of languishing as a low-level sports reporter, and Michael was starting to flourish in his profession, but you never knew whether he was completely divorced from the life, the practices, the kind of activities that had been such a prominent part of his adolescence and young adulthood. And that's there was a rebonding, but then a there was some caution there. There was some uncertainty there, and then you kind of introduce the female aspect to it,
Yes.
and it creates this unhealthy triangle in the process.
Gerald Myers, our guest on the program, that's GeraldMyers. If you're Googling, the book is Michael's Place. You'll find it published by Writers Branding. It'll be there, writersbranding.com, of course, at Amazon, and at Gerald's website, GeraldMyersAuthor.com. Information on the other books that we talked about before that Gerald has published. It's interesting because you do such a nice job with crime and action scenes. And a lot of people deal with crime and action, but you've got more. You've got the steady tension that builds throughout the course of Michael's Place. Talk about that and how challenging that is. It's sort of a sub-layer that you've got going through the story. You've got the crime and the action. That can sort of write itself, maybe. But this tension you keep all the way throughout. Does that come easy for you? Because I'm reading and thinking, well, this is a gift that you have of maintaining this all the way through the story with all these different sub-stories going on.
Well, I really haven't had any personal experience in
Yes.
that realm. So it's all based on my imagination. It was honed by the editing process and the rewriting process and paring down some of the overwriting to the point where you could streamline things. I just went with my gut feeling on how these things would evolve, and it turned out pretty good from what I can tell.
Well, it turned out really good. The book is Michael's Place. You'll find it at Amazon, all of the usual places. The very successful background in cardiology. At the same time, you really decide, I want to write. I've got stories to tell. I want to write. How do you go about balancing the cardiology practice with creative writing? Both very demanding.
Well, writing has always been a passion of mine. It started when I was a preteen. I was writing stories. I was doing daily memoirs. I put out a newsletter for my friends when I was in high school. I was sports editor for a high school paper and then for my college paper. But I realized that writers do go through lean years. And I make the comment that I practice medicine on my time and I write on my wife's time. So,
I
and
understand exactly what you're saying.
she's very generous in that regard. So writing became an avocation, and the cardiology became the vocation. But in the mid 80s is when I decided to sit down and to pursue it actively. And it turned out that every free moment I had, I was writing, revising, editing, and then starting new projects. And every time I had a book in the editing phase, I would start another one. So I had these overlapping projects. But it took about 15 years of sticking to it before I finally got published, and then it gained some momentum. But I'm proud of the end products.
Well, you should be not only Michael's Place, but the other books as well. And I'll mention those before we conclude the conversation today. You mentioned in school you had this desire to write. Where did that come from? Was that inspired by family? Was it inspired by a particular teacher? Some people avoid writing. That's the last thing we want to do as we're in seventh grade. You cherished it. Why?
I came from reading. I mean, I was a avid Hardy Boys fan back in my
Oh,
preteen days.
yes.
I even tried to write a Hardy Boys mystery when I was probably 10 or 11.
Yes.
Got about 55 pages and then kind of got lost in the plot. But that gave me a taste of it, and I felt fulfilled, when I was writing. My grandparents gave me this Underwood typewriter, this old-fashioned
Oh,
typewriter, and
yes.
I spent my afternoons and evenings, in front of the typewriter. So that's the, and I just continued doing that.
What do you like to read now?
I read literary fiction. My wife also says that I'm such a snob that I won't read what I write, because I don't feel it rises to that level. But that's where I get my pleasure from, literary fiction.
I mentioned the background there that you've written the coming of age, two coming of age novels, including Michael's Place. You got the historical thriller, a psychological thriller, the fictionalized memoir. What genre do you enjoy most, or do you enjoy not having a favorite? You can just write whatever you feel like writing.
I like dabbling in the different genres. I think the coming of age speaks to me the clearest. The other side of innocence is a particularly one that I find that I relate to the most. It had to do with my high school and my senior year there in '68, and I got to bring in a lot of the autobiographical aspects of that. But I also enjoyed the historical thriller, because I got to do a lot of research into Nazi Germany, the concentration camps, the whole Hitler Youth program, and then advance it into the present and see how there is a thread that can go for many, many years, in one particular
Yes.
storyline. So the research, the editing, the whole creative process, I really enjoy.
And the historical fiction is Lethal Legacy. I was going to ask about that because, unlike the others, you're not creating your own little world. This is not Gerald Meyer's world. This is a world that a lot of people are somewhat familiar with. So the research part you like, that was different than probably some of the others you've written. You enjoyed the research.
Especially, yes. I mean, I did a lot of reading about the SS and Nazi Germany, like I said, and then the whole tying together the investigative process that can can link a very disparate plot lines,
Yes.
and so that was very fulfilling. I did a part of that book was a 60-page memoir of that was written by a former member of the SS, describing his experiences back in 41 through 44. So I tell the story. My aunt was one of my editors, and she was someone who lived through that period of time, and she started reading that part of the book, and she said, "I can't read this. It hits too close to home. You're
Wow.
going to have to get somebody else to edit this thing." And I got a sense that there was some authenticity there that I was proud of.
Well, and Will, you should be. But the time is going by so quickly. I want to talk for a second about coming of age novels. For some reason, if I see coming of age with a novel or a TV series or a movie, it has my attention. I came of age decades and decades ago. You still sound like you like coming of age. What is it about that particular part of our life? Is it because it shapes us maybe for the rest of our lives that we're very interested in that?
It's for me, and I guess in the two books, it's a certain innocence that
Yes.
gets challenged by life situations and by exposure to non-traditional circumstances and situations. And certainly, it happened in Michael's Place. It happens even more dramatically in the Age of in the Other Side of Innocence. Because living in such an insular community in Northeast Philly, and then having all the things that were occurring in the world around us in 1968, made it inevitable that there be some personality changes, some behavioral changes in a person's life.
And I don't think I mentioned that. This does take place in the late 60s, 1968. Vietnam was going on, which really shaped, as we got a little older and closer to draft age, you know, our lives and our friends. And suddenly we've got friends that go away and don't come back. And it was a very challenging time that you write about so well in the book Michael's Place. It's interesting as you think back about that and you read the book Michael's Place. Are we today who we once were? And by that, I mean, does the past really shape us? Formed at that age, maybe teenage, pre-teenage, does that shape us pretty much for the rest of our lives?
I think that's it's clear that our early life experiences, you know, provide a thread that affects our behavior through the rest of our lives. I mean, we have choices, but we are, you know, we're definitely influenced by those experiences.
What are you working on now?
More short stories. You know, I'm dealing with some, you know, personal things with my wife's health and the like. And so I don't have as much time to do it, but I've accumulated maybe a dozen short stories that I'd like to see if I could get published. I've enjoyed creating the storylines in a more compact form, a more concentrated form. So that's what's coming up next.
That's a whole different discipline, I would think, in doing a short story, because as you say, compact is probably the key word in doing the story. I don't have to take 60 pages because I have to fill 400. I need to tell the story very quickly.
And you're not investing a year or two in your life to get. And that's kind of minimum when you factor in the editing process and all the revisions.
What's that editing process like for you? Got a couple minutes left in the program. As a doctor, you do what's done, and that's pretty much it. You don't go back 2 hours later and necessarily revisit that. In writing, you're never really done till you get that finished product. What's that like going back over your work and reading it? Is that enjoyable or is that tedious for you?
I love that. Because I love fine-tuning and refining. I mean, I always make the comment, you never finish a manuscript, you abandon it, because you can always go back and tweak it here and there. I mean, even the books that have been published. I mean, I've put out second and third editions of a lot of the books because I'm not satisfied with the way they turned out in the publishing form. But I really savor that editing process because I think I can, you know, I can crystallize some of the sentences and the thoughts that you know that were more you know more wordy, and they weren't as flushed out the first time around.
It's interesting. Where do these ideas come from? You've got such a broad interest base. How do you decide, okay, this is going to be my next project?
They've come from various sources. I mean, the first book I wrote was called The Song of the Siren, came out of an experience I had on the turnpike in Pennsylvania, where I met a woman at a rest stop, and she told me her story, and I thought that could be a more extensive story. Others came from, meeting Michael LaPera. I also worked with a guy that gave a course at Pitt, how to get published, and he offered to work with me on what ended up being Lethal Legacy. And one time, and my first publisher in the late 90s took a manuscript that I had written and said that we can turn this into a book, but you have to use me as your coach to take it from conception to publication. And I trusted her, and that was the first actual book that got published. That was called Muted Colors. It was changed to The Heart of Rose, but it's been a process, because I've never taken a formal writing course. I've never gotten any formal instruction. It's been a learning process through all the people that I've been in contact with through the years.
Well, it works. So don't you dare take a course in writing because it's just going to throw you off track. What you're doing now is working. Dr. Myers mentioned all of his books. Information on those when you go to his Amazon page or go to his website. The book we talked about today, Michael's Place, it really is an excellent read. It's one of those books, literally, you're not going to be able to stop. Once you start reading, it's like, okay, I need to see how this is going to progress. End of that chapter. I need to see how the next chapter is going to progress. So don't plan on getting a lot of sleep as you're reading Michael's Place. And I say that in a good sense because you're going to love the story that Gerald Myers talks about. It's Gerald Myers. If you're Googling G-A-G-E-R-A-L-D, Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, GeraldMyersAuthor.com is his website, book published by Writers Branding, their website, writersbranding.com, and of course, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Dr. Myers, thank you for being with us on the program. I love what you're doing. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to come back and chat more about your books. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's been our pleasure. Gerald Myers, author of Michael's Place. His website, GeraldMyersAuthor.com. Book, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.